We are now joined by a Pitya Pitya woman, artist and university teacher, Jacarly Felicitas Romanis. Hello, Jacarly, and thank you so much for taking your time today to talk to us.
Hi, no, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Let's start. If you can please tell us who your people are and where do you come from?
So I'm a proud Pitya Pitya woman, but born and raised on Wadawurrung country on the Surf Coast. I'm currently living on Wurundjeri country in Melbourne. So sort of always been based down on Kulin land in Victoria, but my mob are from central Queensland, central West Queensland. I'm speaking to you from Wadawurrung country down in Janjuk, down on the Surf Coast.
Thank you so much. Now, I know this one is a difficult one because we are radio, and you are visual artists. You're mainly focusing on photography, but how could you please describe your work?
My work is very much intertwined with who I am as a Pitya Pitya woman. It explores a lot of different themes, kind of cultural identity, connection to country, connection to ancestors through the photograph, as you mentioned. But I suppose visually the work often has a kind of layered feeling to it. A lot of the time I will place more than one image on top of the other, and it'll create this kind of blended layering effect. And that kind of comes through in both the still images and the moving image works as well.
Mm-hmm. So what is the moving image work?
So the moving image works, they're short video works, and the ones I've made so far have a kind of poetic voiceover. And so another facet of my arts practice is actually spoken word. And so it's interesting, I sort of brought that in because, you know, the visual is really great and I love being a visual artist, but I also think language is so important and kind of conveys another layer or aspect to the stories that I'm trying to share through my work.
Mm-hmm. And one of the recent works is Disconnected to Country. Can you please tell us more about this one?
Yeah, so this body of work I started in 2019, and it's kind of what I would say is a lifelong project, but really Disconnected to Country as a sort of series or body of work explores, you know, institutional archives. It explores photographs of country and of ancestors, and kind of is a way for me to connect to both country and ancestors through my arts practice.
Mm-hmm. You spoke about the crisis of archive. This was the title at a conference as well. So can you tell us a little bit more about this one, please?
Sure. So I spoke at a symposium a few months ago now alongside two of my colleagues and dear friends, Dr. Kirsten Little-Garner and Dr. Peter Clancy, who are both Indigenous photographers themselves. Kirsten is Māori and Peter is a proud Yorta Yorta woman. We all kind of work with archival images, and really what I mean by archival images for me personally is that they're photographs that sit within a kind of institution. So I have photographs of my great-grandparents within the Tyndale Genealogical Collection that sits within the South Australian Museum, and they kind of, the archive is kind of this space where these images are all held and they kind of sit together in this particular room. And so I think photographers often are thinking about the archive and how we work with archives, particularly Indigenous people who for centuries have been at the hands of colonial research, and really a lot of our knowledges exist and come out of these archival spaces.
Mm. How do you feel about the archival spaces? Is it like a neutral feeling or negative, positive?
Archives are really interesting. They're sort of spaces of tension where the kind of a particular period in time is then sort of seen through a different lens in the present day. So For me, like, you know, I'm very lucky to have spent time within the Tyndale Genealogical Collection at the South Australian Museum. And I think, you know, I can recognize that Tyndale's research was sort of coming from this particular lens. But a lot of the time, it is quite confronting to be in these spaces. You know, they have a kind of energy to them and to really highlight what the kind of perspective of research was towards Indigenous people at that time. I should probably add as well, and explain who Tyndale is. He was an Australian anthropologist that travelled through a series of communities, you know, Indigenous communities in the 30s and 40s, and he did a lot of family genealogical tree work, but also made a lot of photographs of Indigenous people that really kind of follow this particular visual language. The only way that I can kind of describe the photographs is they look like headshots, essentially, like mugshots. There's a sort of forward-facing portrait and a side-facing portrait. And so, yeah, both of my great-grandparents on my mum's side of my family have been documented within this archive. And so I've been working with those photographs from 1938, which is when they were made.
How do you feel about, like, do we archive photographs these days? Would we have archives like that?
I mean, you know, it's an interesting thought, like, how do we kind of archive differently now? And there's a lot of conversations about digital archives and data sovereignty, a lot of work in that space happening at the moment, and how, you know, Indigenous folks can have control over their knowledges and agency over their, you know, sacred important stories. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, archives now really need artists in a way, and like people actually activating those archives and activating the, you know, cultural materials or the photographs or the documents, whatever it might be, through making and through, you know, spending time with them.
You're talking about these new opportunities. I know you also are a teacher at university. Is that something you're talking about with your students, or is there a completely different message?
Oh, no, for sure. I think inevitably, I mean, I'm very lucky to be teaching at Monash, but I think it's really important to be educating the next kind of generation of people coming through about the power of archives and institutional archives. I teach within a unit that is specifically about Indigenous creative practices, ways of doing, being, and knowing. And I'm very lucky to be a part of a team of Indigenous teachers who are really committed to bringing young people through and educating young folks about Indigenous creative practices and how we've been making for millennia and how that is still important to recognize today.
So not just photography, but also other practices.
Yeah, I mean, my kind of sort of expertise, I suppose you could say, is photography, and kind of I do teach a couple of other subjects that are specific to photography, but within the Indigenous unit, we sort of touch on a lot of other artists and their practices, and yeah, I guess highlighting that link between cultural practice, creative practice, and continuing systems of knowledge for generations to come.
It sounds like you're very busy, and you also were very busy in last year because not only you created your art, you had exhibitions, both solo and group exhibitions, and you're teaching at university. You also won several prizes and you spoke at conferences. Looking back, how was that year for you?
2025 was a wild ride, I think. You know, I finished my PhD in sort of February of last year, and then yeah, sort of jumped into teaching. I feel, if anything, just very grateful to be having the opportunities that I have. I really always wanted to be a teacher at a university and to kind of finish my PhD and then hop into a job at Monash. I mean, it's like really, I just feel very lucky to be doing this and also to be a practicing artist at the same time. It's, yeah, it's a really wonderful, special thing to be able to do.
And last but not least, you collected awards. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, so I mean, I collected one award last year, but I, yeah, I was the winner of the multimedia category at the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Art Awards, so the Telstra Natsia, as they are known as. Yeah, it was an incredibly special award to, you know, be recognised in, and a complete honour to be among such incredible Indigenous, you know, makers as well. It's, yeah, it's a really beautiful time to be on Larrakia country too, in Darwin.
Congratulations, Jakali. And my last question, what are your plans for this year?
I'll be teaching again this year, which will be great. I've got a show coming up at the National Gallery of Victoria in March. So I'm sort of steadfast getting organised for that. But I'm trying to take it a bit slower if I can.
Is it something you need for your art practice to sort of step back and reflect, or do you need the pressure and the drive?
I mean, I quite enjoy a little bit of pressure, but there does come a time when you need to recharge. And I mean, creativity, it's not something that's sort of just constantly going all the time. Like sometimes you need space to think about it and sit with things. So yeah, I'm hoping that this year I will take a little bit of time to just make some new things and have that be something I'm doing outside of sort of an exhibition's headspace.
Good luck with that, and thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us on NITV Radio today, Jakali.
Thanks so much, Saka.